Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1982, Dr. Kevin Lehman published The Birth Order Book. It has since sold over 1 million copies. In it, he explains how if you're an oldest sibling, you'll tend to be more of a people pleaser and be more likely to take responsibility for things. But if you're a younger child, you're more likely to be outgoing and creative. And if you're a middle child, you're more likely to be insecure about your place in the world because you think your parents gave all their attention to your older and younger siblings. Now, why would a book like that sell 1 million copies? Well, it's because people really want to figure themselves out, to fix themselves. They want to figure out why they act like they do. And toward that end, America spends upward of $300 billion every year on mental health. Self-help books alone are estimated to have sold nearly $17 billion worth in 2025. This morning, John gives us a case study of two sisters and their differing response to tragedy. Now, we could look at them and say, wow, she really messed that up. Or, I bet she acted like that because she was the older sister. But I think more instructive for us is to look at how Jesus saw them and look at how Jesus responds to them. Now, the sisters are, of course, Mary and Martha. I'll start with Martha, since she's the first one with speaking lines. What do we know about Martha? She and her sister are recurring characters in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 10, we get a little bit more insight into Martha. It's the story where Jesus is at their house, Mary is sitting at his feet listening to the teaching. But she leaves Martha to do all the serving. Martha gets annoyed with this and asks Jesus to have Mary do her fair share. So what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So to put it in our terms, Martha is the responsible one. She sees the big picture and all the things that need to be done to maintain a respectable house for their guests. Jesus gently rebukes her, telling her that her picture is too small. Mary has the better perspective with her eye set on heavenly things. So let's go back to our reading, our gospel reading, where Martha heard that Jesus was coming. She went out and met him. Her picture has gotten a little bigger here. She's paying attention to Jesus more than her obligation to be a good host. So she goes out to meet Jesus and she tells him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's still focusing on the circumstances, though. She blames Jesus for letting Lazarus die, not yet really embracing the reality of who Jesus is. She continues, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She wants something, but she's unwilling to ask for it. She wants Jesus to ask for it instead. She's got faith in God, but she's not acting as though it was God himself standing before her. She sees Jesus as someone with a special connection to God. Jesus needs to fix this, but he's gentle with her. Your brother will rise again, he tells her. And her response, well, sure, in the resurrection on the last day. See, she's a good Israelite. She believes in God. She believes in the resurrection of the dead. But that's about it. Jesus says to her now, I am the resurrection and the life. This was what Martha needed to hear, that the resurrection is not only some future event. The resurrection was standing right before her. The source of life, God himself, was standing right there. He had come to her town and eaten her house, and now he had revealed himself to her. We see that she gets this. Jesus asks her, "Do you believe this?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Finally, Martha sees the whole picture. Jesus didn't want her to serve everyone while he was teaching. He wanted her to see him. He didn't just want her to believe in God. He wanted her to believe in him. And she finally did. Mary, on the other hand, she reacts to the death of her brother a little differently. When Jesus comes to town, she doesn't even bother to get up. She doesn't react. She's at home, mourning. Not because she doesn't care, it's because she cares so much. Remember, this is the same Mary that used a year's worth of wages, worth of expensive ointment on Jesus' feet and then wiped them with her hair. Compared to Martha, who was practical and no nonsense, Mary was given to grand gestures with little thought to the consequences. She was the extrovert to Martha's introvert, or we might say the big feelings to Martha's careful logic. So we would expect that when she gets out to see Jesus, she would have a completely different reaction to him and something completely different to say. At the end of verse 32, it says, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Hold on, that's the same thing Martha said, with the same kind of accusing subtext. I guess it makes sense since they were sisters after all. Only Mary, instead of explaining herself, she had fallen down weeping. And Jesus' response to this, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He doesn't try to explain himself. He doesn't try to correct her. He doesn't tell her, there, it'll be all right. No, it says Jesus wept. Sure, he's the Christ, the Son of God, coming into this world. But when Mary is hurting, he cries. When you're hurting, he feels it too. The only difference is you can't see it. But you know, I don't think Mary saw it either. She was on the ground at his feet, thinking about one thing only, that Lazarus was dead. Mary wasn't concerned about the finer points of theology. She just knows that Jesus is her friend, that he loves her, and that she wants something from him. Oh, and that he's the Christ, because she's been paying attention. So, Jesus does what Jesus does. He asked where the tomb was, he went there, he asked them to open it, he says a little prayer, and he yelled at a dead man. Now, Jesus didn't... Sorry. Jesus didn't raise Lazarus just for Mary's tears or just for Martha's confession. He did it for both of them and for every person standing there that day, so that they would believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And through the scriptures, that we would believe the same thing. In fact, he says this in his kind of pointed prayer in verses 41 and 42. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." Also, notice how Jesus' prayer echoes back to his discussion with Martha. She had started out saying, "I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." He ends saying to God, "I thank you that you have heard me." He's confirming her knowledge and strengthening her faith in just the same way, or in just the right way, that she needs to be comforted. Mary got a different kind of comfort. Jesus wept with her when she was sad. He connected with her in an emotional way, which was just what she needed. Notice what he didn't do. He didn't tell Mary that she needed to make a clear confession of her faith like Martha did. He didn't tell Martha that she needed to get out of her head and explore her emotions more. He loved them both. He loved them in their different ways, and he accepted them just the way they were. Now, I'm the oldest of six children. According to the birth order book, I should be very conscientious, a rule follower, and drawn to authority. According to our gospel reading this morning, none of that matters. Jesus loves me the way I am. I'm naturally analytical, which has served me well as a computer programmer for many years. Now I find my free time filled with articles from theological journals and big, thick old books. But that's just how I'm wired. Emotions, on the other hand, I don't trust them. They're fickle, given to change at a moment's notice, unreliable, and quite frankly, exhausting. I'm going to guess that there are some of you here this morning that are more like me, maybe not all the way, but more like me. And there are others that are more like Mary, navigating life with their heart. And here's the point. Jesus loves us all. He comes to us as we are, answers every question, and wipes away every tear. He doesn't want us to change, to become more intellectual or less, or more emotional or less. What he does want is for us to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, coming into this world. He wants us to ask the Father for every need and trust that he will take care of us. And then what does he offer us in return? Well, it's the same thing he gave Lazarus. I know this is Lent and I'm preaching an Easter sermon here. You'll have to forgive me. But he gives us resurrection, but an even better resurrection than Lazarus. Lazarus was raised for a few more years of life and then he died again. But we will be raised to life everlasting. Lazarus was raised back into a world still corrupted by sin, but we will be raised into a new, perfect world. And that's what really matters. That's what we believe. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.